So the question is, what did Mary really know? I mean, we know what Mary was told, and you're going to see that in a minute, but we don't know really what Mary knew in that moment. Yet we've come to understand that whatever she knew, she couldn't fully comprehend and couldn't understand in that moment. After all, she was 14 years old. She was in junior high. If you're a parent, I'd love for you just to think about your junior higher and what they think they knew when they were in junior high. Maybe think of yourself in junior high and what you knew and understood compared to what you know now and have come to understand. This is a picture of me in junior high. I was about 68 pounds. I played trumpet. I was in the band. Need I say any more? I didn't know very much, but I thought I did. I had some sweet feathered hair and a great vest. But what was it like when you were in junior high? You remember that? And if you're like me, you would probably admit there's no comparison to what you thought you knew then to what you know and understand now. Mary, did you know that one day your baby boy would walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that the child you delivered one day would soon deliver you? What did she know? For those of you who are parents, I want you to think back when your kids were born. And I want you to think about all the things you didn't know before parenting. This is a picture of my kids back in the day. Now they're like 24, 22, and 20. And there wasn't much that I knew before parenting about parenting. And you just learned. One thing you need to know about Mary in this time of history, little Jewish girls, they didn't read. These girls didn't go to school. They wouldn't have had an education. Mary would have been illiterate. She would have been unable to even write and maybe comprehend all that was about ready to take place in her life and through her life. I don't know if you've ever thought about her parents. I wonder what her parents felt. I wonder how they felt when she came and proclaimed the message that she was going to deliver the Savior of the world. But here's what we do know about what Mary knew. When the angel came to bring her the news of what was about to change her life and change all of history, here's what the angel said: "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. See, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over that throne, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." You see, what she did know was that she was highly favored and the Lord God was going to be with her. She knew her son's name would be Jesus, and he would reign as king and his kingdom would live on forever. This is what she knew, but could she really trust an angel with the news she probably could barely understand? With the news that in that moment made absolutely no sense. And I'm sure not only did she question everything that was told to her, she had to question herself. I mean, what's going on? Is this real? Could this be happening to me? Each year, Webster's Dictionary names their word of the year. It's based on how many times that word is looked up in the year. So for the year 2023, Webster's word was this: authentic. Authentic. Coming in second, right behind the word authentic, was this word: deep fake. And the third was implode. Implode. Deep fake and implode came in second and third. That might be something foretelling of what's to come in the future. I'm not sure. But along with that, I don't know what kind of readers are reading over at dictionary.com, but here was their word of the year: hallucinate. A little bit different than authentic. So for this crowd, because you're really smart and you're good people, we're going to go with authentic. Maybe tomorrow I'll do hallucinate or implode or one of the other words, but tonight you're going to get authentic. Here's what Webster defines as authentic: not false or imitation. It's real, actual, worthy of acceptance or belief as conforming or based on fact. In choosing the word authentic as the word of the year, they said this was the reason behind it. Separating fact from fiction is getting harder. Manipulating images and creating increasingly convincing deep fakes is getting easier. As what's real becomes less clear, authenticity is something we're thinking about, writing about, aspiring to, and judging more than ever. Can we trust whether a student wrote this paper? Can we trust whether a politician made this statement? See, we don't always trust what we see anymore. And that word deepfake, maybe you could understand it this way. Think of someone's Instagram life, maybe compared to their real life. Maybe what they're putting forward when you think about deepfake, this is their Instagram life and here's their real life. So take a look at the screens. Here's the Instagram life. But maybe behind the scenes, here's what really is going on. Or maybe this one. Beautiful view out of a plane, going on a great trip, but really, just got a toilet seat. Or maybe it's this one. Looking pretty cool, got off the train, ready to go, but this is her real life. Your inner world compared to what you project. What you wish your life could be. And then we come to the story of Christmas. You know, the silent night where away in a manger, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. And some of you might think, well, this can't be real, can it? I mean, it sort of sounds authentic, but how can I know that this really happened? Well, what Mary knew and what all of you should know is that this is not a once upon a lifetime story. This isn't a fairy tale. You see, once upon a time or in a galaxy far, far away, signals to us that it probably didn't happen or we don't know if it really happened at all. But the story of Jesus, it doesn't even begin with once upon a time, we know that, or in a galaxy far, far away. It doesn't even begin with the angels and the shepherds and Mary, which to some of us can sound like once upon a time. Actually, the writer of Matthew starts chapter 1 with the genealogy of Jesus as the starting point. And why would he do that? Just take a look at the screens, and I'm not going to read it, but here's the genealogy of Jesus. And it gives all the names that are associated with Jesus and coming to his birth. And you see, Matthew starts with the genealogy of Jesus to authenticate who he was before he did anything, and before he tells us about who he is going to be and what he's going to do. You see, Jesus is not a metaphor. He's not a cute once-upon-a-time story. The story of Christmas is not even simply about the birth of this Christ child. See, it's about the Christ child coming to earth to redeem and save all of mankind. He's to bring light into the darkness and bring hope to those who would choose to believe in him. You see, Jesus is real, and the birth of Christ really happened. And on that Christmas day, as we call it, it marked all of history. Those are historical facts. And here's what took place on that one holy night in Bethlehem. Scripture says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And then suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." He says, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy." And this is why that is so important. I love what a writer by the name of Tim Keller says. When he talks about news and advice, he distinguishes between the two. And he says this about news. He says, "News is a report about what has already been done. Advice is counsel about what you should do. And advice urges you to make something happen. News urges you to recognize something that has already happened and then respond to it." Advice says it is all up to you to act. And you see, news says someone else has acted, and now you must respond to that news. So let me explain that this way. Let's say that there is an invading army that's coming towards a town. What the town needs in that moment is military advisors. It needs advice on what to do. Someone should explain what would happen next, where the trenches should be dug, where the marksmen should go, where the tanks should be placed to defend the city. However, if there was a great king that came and he intercepted and defeated the invading army, what does the town need then? You see, it doesn't need military advisors. It needs messengers. And the Greek word for messengers is angelos, angels. The messengers do not have to say, here is what you must do. They say, rather, I bring you good news of great joy. In other words, stop fleeing. Stop digging those trenches. Stop trying to save yourself. The King of Kings has already come and he has saved you. He has intervened. Something has been done and it changed everything. So Mary, did you know? What Mary did know is that the news was going to change her life. But did you know that Christ came and he brought this good news to change your life as well? And there's nothing for me that's more authentic than to see someone's life changed by the power and presence of God in their lives. You know why? It's really kind of hard to argue with someone when they come and they just share what has happened to them, how they've been changed. So I'd love for you just to take a look at the screens and listen to the story of good news from Ray and from G.
My name is Ray Natividad.
And I'm Gina Tividad.
We met kind of in the party scene. I think it's fair to say we're kind of both lost.
I just had all these thoughts, all these negative thoughts, and I started to cry out to God. I just want to stop all of it. I don't know how, just help me. I've never heard the Holy Spirit so loudly in my life.
I heard this loud no, and it was like resonated within my body as something I never heard before.
The voice was like, just get rid of it. If you're crying to me, then trust me.
I realized that at that time that was the Holy Spirit speaking out to me.
And that was the end of it.
Just looking back that, you know, we both had these separate experiences on the same night, it kind of just changed our life from there. A friend of mine, Nicole, she had mentioned, oh, you should try out Friends. It's a great place. I love it. They have different pastors. They're all great.
We went to the Christmas Eve service and it was just so fun.
It was just not what you would expect from a church service at all. There was a snowball fight. And we had so much fun at it. And the next day we woke up and we're like, we need to go again. At this point, we had left the party scene. We didn't really have friends anymore.
We joined a couples rooted group. That was the first time we told our story. And we were accepted with such open arms and just such warmth. So being in Rooted was the first time I really experienced that belonging. My heart was transformed. I don't know how to explain it, but my heart was just completely transformed.
So we were into like the third week of Rooted, and the friend who had recommended us going to a friend's church had passed away in a car accident. And it really, really hit home because she was pregnant and just kind of a lot to take in. Knowing someone for 3 weeks, you don't really know them that well, but all those people made me feel like I had someone to fall back on if I needed to. I just don't know how I would have dealt with it without being there, without my wife requesting for that prayer.
Church gave us a place to get closer to God, which is what we've been praying for.
Like, I'm excited to go to church.
I've actually seen Ray transform from being the person who's like, great, big church, I get to hide in the back, to being the person saying hello to people and greeting people and making conversations. God transformed us in a sense where I felt emptiness and my heart was just filled with shame. I don't feel that emptiness anymore. So because of God, what was emptiness and just coldness within me transformed into warmth.
You know, I thought I had life figured out. I thought that's all that life had to offer. I was just trying to fill something. And after coming to God, I realized this is what's been missing.
That's what we're looking for.
I'm just missing Christ. That's all I needed.
I love, yeah, you could clap for that. I love what Ray said. He just said, I was missing Christ, and come to find out that's what I needed. What he was saying was, I was searching and I was trying to fill this void in my heart with anything and everything until I heard the good news of God's love for me. You see, when the angel Gabriel came down and told Mary that she would be the mother who would deliver the Savior of the world, she asked for an explanation from the angel like anyone would. And after she received the explanation, here is what she said. She said, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. In that moment, Mary's life was interrupted and it was turned upside down. Her hopes and her dreams, her parents' hopes and dreams had all been changed in an instant. And you see, Mary began her journey with Jesus by choosing to believe. She believed in the request God was asking of her. She believed by placing her trust in the God of the universe instead of just trying to find her own way through this thing called life. And tonight, I just want to tell you the same thing can be true for you. See, it was like that for Mary, it was like that for Ray, it was like that for G, and it was like that for countless others. Because see, you begin by believing the report that has been given to you, this story of good news about what happened in history over 2,000 years ago. You believe and then you accept that a way in a manger was made for you. You see, Mary is the first one to ever proclaim the Christmas message. She is the first person to ever be changed by the hope of Christ. She is the first to be moved and transformed. She had been transformed because she had an encounter with the living God. But that same hope Mary had is available tonight for all of you in 2023. You can know as Mary did, the child that she delivered actually came to deliver you. If the biblical story started with once upon a time, tonight it would just be good advice for you and not the declaration of the greatest event in history. You see, Christmas shows us that believing in Jesus is not just good advice. It's good news that causes great joy, like it did for Ray and for G. And both of them are hearing from God at the same time to stop and to turn from the life they had and they were living. And they decided to trust in God with what was next for their life. You see, this is good news if you choose to accept and believe. I love what one pastor says about making Jesus your Lord and Savior. He said, Jesus makes you better at life and makes your life better. We started the service with this verse, and I would just love to kind of wrap up with this in light of what you heard. The writer John says, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And here's what we know is that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son into the world that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. And he goes on and says that he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. See, that is the good news of Christmas. That's the invitation that God gives every one of us today to be a part of his family by accepting the gift of his Son, the Savior of the world. In 2018, there was a boy named Carter And he received the greatest gift from his aunt and uncle. I'd love for you just to take a look at the screens to see his story and what happened on that Christmas day.
11-year-old Carter Wiles is about to get the Christmas surprise of a lifetime.
This is from all of us. All of us.
That's his aunt, Leah Kiphart, offering him a final gift to unwrap on Christmas morning. Inside, this family photo of the Kipharts, showing Carter's aunt, uncle, and his cousins, along with a very special letter.
Carter, this is our most recent picture of our family. All of us would love for you to be in the next picture and to be part of our family. Carter, would you like to be a Kiphart and be in our son and brother with you?
What do you think, buddy?
Yay!
His aunt and uncle surprising him with an adoption.
We're going to adopt you, Carter.
Oh, thank you so much.
I love that. We're going to adopt you, Carter. He was just overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed that this family would adopt him as their own. That's why I love that verse from John that said, but to all those who would believe in him and accept him, he then gave the right to be children of God. See, by God making a way in the manger and bringing his son in the world, he was making a way for all of us. And tonight, he's making a way for you to be a part of his family. And simply, he just asks, would you be my son? Would you be my daughter? See, Mary didn't know a lot. She probably didn't understand everything that was happening to her in that moment. Her life was interrupted and everything changed. But she came to know her son, Jesus. And the question I just have for you today is, do you know this one Jesus? Oh, you might know of Jesus. And just like many of you know the Christmas story now, but many here today still don't know the Christ of Christmas. And what you need to know is just God made a way. And that way began in a manger. God knew that all of us would choose our own way. And that's why he had to make a way for you, so that you might be saved from your sins and he might give you eternal life. And our God loved you so much that he sent his son into this world not to condemn you, but actually to redeem you and to save you. He knew what you needed before you ever even knew you had a need. That word Christmas, it just simply means more of Christ. And that is truly good news. Now you know. Now you know the real story of Christmas, but now you must choose to believe in the Christ of Christmas. You must choose to believe in this one that made a way in the manger, and he was making a way for you. And I just simply ask you tonight, would you choose to believe? Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? God, we thank you for every person that is here. And we thank you for those that have come into this room that are far from you, God. And all of us have been separated from you by sin. But tonight, we have a chance in this moment just to declare and say thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus, the light of the world. Thank you, God, for thinking of all of us. And thank you for being with us even when we didn't know it. And so today, if that's you, that you don't know Christ as your personal Savior right now, in your own heart, in your own way, you can just simply say, God, I've never truly accepted this good news, but I hear it tonight. And I would ask you to come into my life and to change me, to forgive me. Thank you for making a way in a manger for me. Thank you for adopting me into your family. And God, I give you my life. I pray that you would come into my heart and save me from my sin and be my Savior. And God, it says when we accept and believe, that we confess with our mouth, we believe with our heart, that it says we shall be saved. Because it is what you have done and not what we do. Thank you for the free gift of salvation that is offered to everyone who would choose to believe. And thank you, God, for making a way in a manger so that we might be called a son or a daughter of the Most High King. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen.